glory. So I just want to know why you weren't expecting something good to happen to you when you have sown so many good seeds.
That's good.
So
that's good.
What were your expectations?
That's good.
I'm just saying, what were your, when you said that, I'm like, okay, Lord, the title was right. That was just that confirmation. So, but yeah, praise God for that. So what was your expectations, Carla? Glory. All right, well, let's pray first. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your provision. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you for hiding us when we need to be hid, Father. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. Thank you for ordering our steps. Father God, right now as we come before you tonight, we bind every attack and assignment the enemy has sent. We bind it right now and we loose your peace, we loose your power, and we loose your protection right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And enemy, we're just here to serve you notice. We're not giving you any glory at all. Just here to serve you notice. You are underneath our feet. You have no place here. Hallelujah. You are a defeated foe. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, the title of my message is, What Are Your Expectations? And again, when I talk about Mike Murdock and his book, I am referring to his book that's titled Creating Tomorrow Through Seed Faith. Awesome. It may be small, as you can see, but it is so powerful. Big things come in small packages, but this is really powerful. You can see all of my highlighting and writing in it, but it is really good. But I want to start my teaching this evening with this statement I heard Dr. Tony Evans' daughter Priscilla Shira state. She said, "Don't pray or chase away our miracle or breakthrough." And I'm going to leave y'all with that in the beginning. I'll explain more later, but I want you to just to think about that statement as I'm teaching, okay? And it's really just going to be only one scripture that I'm really focusing on this evening. I may mention a couple of others, but the one that I'm focusing on is 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7 through 16. That's the one I'm really focusing on. And just to give you a different revelation and understanding of the widow woman and the prophet Elijah. You know, the woman husband passed away, which caused her to be a widow. Her name was not important. The Bible, the scriptures never mention her name. When I thought about that, the widow woman, her name wasn't mentioned. She was just called a widow woman. And I thought about what has died in our lives to make us a widow, to make us feel desolate, to make us feel as though we're in a famine, because it was a famine during that time. Do we feel at times that we just want to cook our last meal and give up? Because that's what she had said. Do we feel that way? We do not need to tap out, y'all. It is not time to tap out. So let's talk about that scripture. Elijah was thirsty and hungry, okay? Because the brook where God initially sent him to had dried up. Side note. There are times in our lives where God may have called us somewhere for a season, no matter what it is. But when it's time to leave, it's dried up. If we decide to stay longer than God intended, His provision and His protection is no longer there. Because you're stepping out of His will. You're stepping out of His umbrella.
Right.
You're stepping out of His shadow.
Right.
You're stepping out of it. Okay, that was a side note. Now, back to the scripture. But God gave him his next instructions regarding where to go and who will help him, the widow woman. So when Elijah saw the widow woman who would help him, who God had said would be there, he asked her for some water. And she, as she walked away to go get the water for him, he asked her for some bread, and she stopped. That's significant. She stopped. He asked her for water because water was readily available in the well. That was readily available. It wasn't, quote unquote, just hers per se. And so she was going to get him some water, but when he said, I want some bread, she stopped. Because that would have been something personal to her. She stopped. And she responded, I do not have any bread. All I have is, okay, y'all, side note. How many times have we said or do we say to God when he has asked us to do something, etc., I do not have and all I have is. How many times do we do that? I do not have and all I have is. Why do we do this? God is well aware of what we can do in our natural bodies. He's well aware what we have. He knows this. He knows our abilities. He's the manufacturer. He's our creator. He knows this. Okay, back to the scriptures. So she said to him, I do not have any bread, only a handful of flour and a little oil. I'm collecting some sticks to take home to make a meal for me and my son so that we may eat and die. Okay. Elijah responded by telling her first, do not be afraid. God wanted her to be calm for what was Elijah was about to say. So God prompted Elijah to tell her, do not be afraid. We do not need to be afraid with God-given instructions. When we know that it's God, when we know that we know that we know that it's God, he has our best interests and he wants to take good care of us. So there's no need for us to be afraid. So after telling her not to be afraid, he gave the instructions. He said, go home as you said that you would, but make me a small cake of bread first, then your son, then yourself. And I thought about why did God say it in that order? Of course, given to him first, because we give to God first.
That's right.
And then he said, your son, then yourself. You know, and I thought about what's that? Because putting others ahead of yourself. That's what I was thinking about, putting others ahead of yourself. Glory to God. And after saying this in verse 14, he tells her the promise. Her flour nor oil will not run out until the Lord brings rain to the land. She went away and did as Elijah asked. Okay, another side note. The Bible does not indicate, the scriptures does not say that she said anything to him regarding what he asked her to do. You know, and in the scriptures sometimes it talks about, because God reveals to the ones that wrote the scriptures what a person's heart was saying. Nothing was mentioned about her verbalizing anything or internalizing anything. The Bible doesn't mention that. So based on that, I have to say she was good. She wasn't afraid. She just went and did what he said. He spoke the promise to her. So she went and did. And I believe some of us would have said something, mumbling, walked away like, who he think he is? Want me to feed him? Then I just tell him, all I got is a little flour and some oil for me and my son to eat. And what is he talking about? But we need to hush and go and do as God says. We just need to do that. And because of her doing what God said in the order that he said, that is critical, there was enough flour and oil for all of them, as Elijah stated, and it never ran out, as Elijah stated in the promise. Elijah asked her to sow a seed, a piece of a meal she was getting ready to prepare for her son and herself, and to expect God's supernatural multiplication because of her seed sown. He asked her to sow a seed, and the seed was the bread, and mainly the bread. The water was just general. Mike Murdoch brought out in his book, when I was talking about in the beginning, Creating Tomorrow Through Seed Faith, nothing was mentioned in the scripture about sacrifice. It was a seed. It wasn't a sacrifice. It was a seed that she was sowing. He stated his own needs, meaning Elijah, were not the subject of discussion. It was never mentioned per the scriptures. The widow woman harvest was the reason for her to sow. Amen. She needed a harvest. She had the seed to sow in her hands that day to create a harvest for the future. We get it? It wasn't about sacrifice. It wasn't about Elijah and his need of being hungry. He was hungry. He was thirsty. Yes, he was. But that wasn't the reason. It wasn't a sacrifice that she was giving him a piece of bread. It was a seed that she was sowing because she needed a harvest. She only had a little flour and a little oil. That's all that she had. It was famine in the land at the time. That's all that she had. And she was a widow. That's all she had. It was a seed. She had the seed in her hand, which was the flour and the oil. And she sown that seed into the prophet, as God said. So what do we have in our hands today? What do we have in our hands? What is in our hands today for our harvest tomorrow for the future? We have to think about what's in our hands. Also, I heard Dr. Tony Evans' daughter say, we do not need more, just God's blessings on our 5 and 2, his favor on our 5 and 2, his blessings on what we have. I'm gonna get more into that. Are we ready and willing to sow what we think is our last meal for our harvest? Are we ready and willing to sow what we think is our last meal for our harvest? Are we ready and willing to sow our 5 and 2, our 2 fish and our 5 loaves? Are we ready to sow that? Look at the harvest from the 2 fish and the 5 loaves. There were 12 full baskets. The scripture indicates that was left over according to Matthew 14 and 20. 12 full baskets left over from the 5 and 2. Okay, getting back to the widow. I'm sure that she had been praying and asking God for help. I'm sure. Things seem hopeless to her. But as Mike Murdoch stated in his book, but God saw her. Whoo! But God saw her. He saw her faith and he heard her prayers. He saw her. God sees you. God sees me. He sees us. God saw her. He saw her. Glory to God. Do you believe that God sees you? Do you believe that he sees you? Do you believe that God hear your prayers and heard your prayers through the pain, through the tears? God is aware of where you hurt the most, and he is not finished blessing you and blessing us today. He's not finished. We got to get excited about that. We got to be expecting that. What are you expecting? What are your expectations? God knows, as Mike Murdoch said in his book, God knows what has stripped us or stolen our joy, our peace, our victories, our smile, our possessions. He knows. God knows. God knows. Do not be afraid when God tells you to sow that last meal. What you think is that last meal. What we think is that last meal. Do not be afraid. We must visualize the harvest. Elijah saw more than her seed of bread to him. He saw the harvest the seed will produce. That's the promise that he gave her. He saw the harvest. A farmer or someone who's just a gardener, they're not focused on that little seed they're planting in the ground today. They have already visualized the harvest the seed will bring tomorrow or in the future. They talk about it. They have an expectation of a harvest when they plant that seed. So when they plant that corn seed, they're not talking about the corn seed. They're talking about the corn that is getting ready to blossom and grow in the future. They're talking about the harvest that it is going to reap. They're not talking about the seed. We get so hung up on the seed at times, right, and we're not thinking about the harvest that seed is going to produce. Yeah. What are your expectations? What is our expectations? What are you expecting? What's our expectations? The widow woman, she did not waver according to the scripture. God did not say anything in the scripture about it. So I can only believe what the word says, that she did not waver when the man of God, when the prophet of God asked her to make him some first. Mike Murdock states, she knew that she had to change her belief system before she could change what was happening in her life.
That's right.
Come on.
Amen.
That's right. Come on. She had to change what she was believing. Uh-huh. She had to change her belief system before she can change what was happening around her.
Amen.
So she believed that man of God, that prophet of God, what he was telling her, because he's number, and I go back to, he started off, do not be afraid.
Uh-huh.
And we don't know the prayers that she had been praying.
Uh-huh.
We don't know that. We don't know the prayers that she prayed. So when Elijah spoke to her, that could have been an answer to a prayer that she had been praying. And she knew that her prayers had been fulfilled when he spoke to her. We don't know that. We don't know that. But she did not waver. She did not waver. She knew what ungodly beliefs have been planted on the inside of us that we need to pluck out. What religious beliefs are we following that we need to pluck them? We need to recognize it and we need to pluck them. If it does not align with the word of God, pluck it, cast it out. We've got to change our belief system. We've got to change that. The key to the widow's woman's future was already in her hands. She had it. She didn't realize it. She had it. She had the flour. She had the oil. Yes, it was just a little in her eyes, but look what it produced. Look what the 5 and 2 produced. Glory to God. Priscilla also state, the thing we complain about is the thing we already have access to. The 5 and 2, the little flour and the oil. All I have is. That is all God need to bring your harvest.
That's right.
Look what he did with the 5 and 2.
That's right.
Look what he did with the little oil and the little flour. Look what he did. Look what he did. Look what he did for Carla, sowing blessings of people here and there and everywhere. The girl got a free 5-day cruise. The harvest, the 5 and 2, the little, that is all God need to bring our harvest. Whatever we have in our hands, we already have it in our hands, everything that we need to take to make tomorrow what it should be. We already have in our hands to make tomorrow, our future, what it should be. This is the master key once we fully understand this, according to Mike Murdock in his book, and I totally agree with him. We need to ask ourselves, what do we have in our hands to sow? He also stated in this profound statement, sowing a seed to create a harvest is not a wrong motive for giving to God. And that's okay, y'all.
That's right.
It's okay to sow a seed for a harvest.
Uh-huh.
When you're giving, it's okay. We just have to make sure our heart is right when we're doing it.
That's right.
It's a heart thing. It goes
that's
back
right.
to the heart. It's a heart
that's
thing.
Right.
But it's okay to sow a seed to create a harvest by your giving. It's okay. God knows we need things. God knows we want things. He knows that. It's okay to do that. But you know, some people in their beliefs, their religious beliefs, don't think it's right. It is okay, perfectly okay to do that. It truly is. Look at the 5 and 2. Look at the little flour and the oil. In his book, he also states, faith birth expectations. Expectation is the proof of faith. Let me repeat that. Faith birth expectations. Expectation is the proof of faith. What are your expectations? What is your faith, our faith birthing? What is it birthing? The expectations we have, is it proof of our faith in God? Ask ourselves these questions. And we need to ask ourselves these tough questions sometimes that we really don't want to answer. And we need to look at the man in the mirror and really ask ourselves these questions like, where is our faith? What is my expectations? What am I expecting from God? He says in his word, all of his promises is in his word. And it's so good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That scripture, and he is good. He's seasoned. He's good. We should and we need to start expecting blessings, happy surprises to happen to us. And Pastor has talked about that in the past, expecting happy surprises to us. We speak over our tithes like we just did all the time. Do we really expect those things to happen to us when we're sowing our seeds? Or are we just in a robot mindset going through the motions? Do we truly believe what we're saying? Are we just saying it because we're repeating after whomever is up here saying it? Do we truly believe it? Do we believe it? Faith, birth, expectations. Expectation is the proof of faith. Glory to God. Our harvest, your harvest, my harvest is closer than we realize at times. But our lack of faith and expectations may hold it up. When our seed leaves our hand, a harvest will leave the warehouse of heaven towards us, towards you, towards me. Don't block it or hold it up. You gotta believe it. Do you believe it? Do you have faith? Now, to explain a little bit at the beginning of the message when I mentioned that statement. Don't pray or chase away our miracle or breakthrough. Remember the Red Sea, the walls of Jericho, and also feeding the multitude. Once at the Red Sea, once the children of Israel reached the Red Sea, they wanted to turn around. They thought, oh, this is it. We're done. My bad, Jeff. They wanted to turn around. They thought it was the end. But Moses had the stick in his hand. He had the stick in his hand. And God told him to stretch it out. The harvest was in his hand. The stick was in his hand. And the sea parted. And they walked on dry land in the middle of the sea. Don't tell me that's not a harvest. But they were reasoning away, kind of praying away their harvest. Kind of praying it away, their miracle, their breakthrough. The walls of Jericho. They had to walk around it for days. They had to walk around it quietly. Quietly, they had to walk around it. But on the seventh day, on the seventh time, the seventh lap around that is when they had to let out a great shout to bring the walls down in order for them to take the city that God had promised them. They had the seed in their hand, their voice. They had the seed. Their voice was the seed to that harvest of taking the city to bring the walls of Jericho down. They had the seed. What's your seed? What's in your hands? Feeding the multitude, the 5 and 2. The apostles wanted to tell the multitude to leave, to go away. That's what they wanted to do. But Jesus said no and provided instructions how to seat them and everything and asked them to feed them. And they found a young boy with 2 fish and 5 loaves. And Jesus blessed it and it multiplied. Simple as that. What if they had chased away the multitude? Don't chase away the multitude. It is linked to your harvest. So don't pray or chase away your blessing, your miracle, your breakthrough. What may look like to us an obstacle, a roadblock. But it could be the key
That's right.
to your breakthrough. It could That's be the right. key to your miracle. Mm-hmm. What you've been praying for, it could be there. We must place, and Priscilla stated, we must place ourselves in a posture of expectation, mm-hmm. of being satisfied, relaxed. You know, you know when you have that real good meal and you just chill like, yeah, I'm full, I'm good. And you're in a posture of just relaxation. We need to put ourselves in a posture of expectation. Mm-hmm. When we're sowing our seeds, when we're giving that, so expecting that harvest, sowing a seed for our tomorrow, for the future. We have to remember that. We have to do that. And I'm going to read a couple of things here. In Mike Murdoch's book, he had outline 55 facts about seed sowing. I'm not going to read all 55. There's a few that I highlighted, and we're going to see how God does this. I highlighted some, but we're going to see what God says. Seed faith is the principle that you can produce anything you want in your future from something you are holding today. What's in your hands? What's in your hands? Don't downplay what's in your hands. Don't downplay your talents. Don't downplay it. Glory to God. Seed faith is sowing what you have been given to create what you have been promised. Seed faith is sowing what you have been given to create what you have been promised. And there's a lot of promises in the Bible that God has promised us. There's a lot of them. We have it in our hands. What we need is in our hands. There will never, never be a day in your life that you have nothing to sow.
That's right.
A simple smile. That's a seed sown, y'all. Because you never know what someone may be going through. And just giving a simple smile. Just giving a simple, hi, how you doing? Me, I cannot get on an elevator or anything without talking to somebody who's in there with me. It just don't seem right just to be in there just in silence, okay? when another human is right there, to me, that just ain't right. You need to talk. And so I'll just say something. But you never know how that something that you say could change their day, change their perspective. You don't know what people are going through these days, so. Something you have been given by God will create anything else you have ever been promised by God. What's your talents? What's your giftings that God has given you? What is it? You know, and I think about with me teaching. This is not my quote unquote comfort zone. It really truly isn't. But I truly believe that this is a calling that God has put on my life. I never would have thought that I would be here teaching God's word. But that is something that God has planted on the inside of me and that I need to plant on the inside of others in order to reap my harvest. So glory to God. If you keep what you presently have, that is the most it will ever be. If you keep what you presently have, that is the most it will ever be. Your seed is something little that can become something huge tomorrow. The corn seed becomes this big stalk of all this corn. You know, the tomato seed, the watermelon seed becomes so big and so good. Me and Pastor Sharon love tomatoes. I want a tomato right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. And like Monica gave Jesse some okra last Sunday. That is some big okra. But it started small from her garden. And that was some big fresh okra that he ate with his collards. When you get involved with God's dream, he will get involved with your dream. What you dreaming about? What you dreaming about? What's your dreams? What's your expectations? What's your dreams? Your seed is the vehicle into your future. What you're driving? What's your seed? What you are talking about the most is revealing what you are expecting in your life. I think I need to say that one more time. What you are, what we are talking about the most is revealing what we are expecting in our lives. What is our speech like? What are we saying? Words are powerful. That said, and I've said this before, that saying sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Glory, words are strong. God spoke stuff into existence. And we are another speaking spirit just like him. So when we speak stuff, we're speaking life. So we have to be careful the words that we speak over others and the words that we speak over ourselves. Glory to God. We have to be careful of the words that we say because we are another speaking spirit, just like our Father God. He spoke stuff into existence. We can speak stuff into existence, whether it's good or bad. So we have to be careful. Expect the impossible, and the impossible will move quickly towards you. Expect the impossible, and the impossible will move quickly towards you. The seed that will leave your hand will never leave your life, just your hand, and enter into your future where it will multiply. When God talks to you about a seed, he has a harvest on his mind. So what has God asked us to sow that we're holding back, that we think is our last meal? What are we holding back? Because God got a harvest on his mind for us. Amen. Let it go. Let it go. The seed of forgiveness into others creates the harvest of mercy from others. Amen. We hold on to unforgiveness like it's a lifeline, but it's not. Let it go. Forgive them. Move on. Not saying you got to be buddy-buddy with them or whatever. You feed them with a long-handled spoon, as my grandmama used to say. But you got to forgive them and move on. Glory. Your seed is a photograph of your faith. When you ask God for a harvest, God will always ask you for a seed. Your seed is what God multiplies. Your faith is why he multiplies it. Your seed is what God multiplies. Your faith is why he multiplies it. I'm going to end by saying this from Mike Murdoch. Something good is being scheduled for your life. Something good is being scheduled for your life. Something good is being scheduled for your life. So with joy and faith in a divine harvest, you are creating tomorrow today. What's in your hands? What's in your hands? What are you expecting? And what are your expectations? Glory to God. Hallelujah.